Welcome to Not That Girl Anymore, part of the Liminal Network. I'm your host, Dawn Bouillon. This is more than a podcast. It's a sisterhood. We're reclaiming our voices, our worth, and our lives. One story, one truth, one brave step at a time. Hey, friends. Welcome back to Not That Girl Anymore. I'm your host, Dawn Bouillon, trauma therapist and coach, and the founder here of Embrace Your Brave. And today I am super excited about this conversation and this guest that I have been looking forward to because today I get to sit with Melissa Bowen, who is a licensed professional counselor and supervisor and the founder here of the Authenticity Center. And Melissa, my heart has just been drawn to you from the moment we met. You know,
it was a good pairing, yes.
Yeah, you just are like this light that every time you're just kind of that person like brightens up the room when you walk in and like here at the office. So I am also at the Authenticity Center with Melissa. So I get the joy of being a part of that community that you are creating over there. And I just have to tell you, like, this space just feels so safe and so cozy and so welcoming. And not every counseling space is like that, you know?
Well, that means a lot, Dawn. I think we've all, one, thank you for all that. I mean, words of affirmation is my love language, but I appreciate your sincerity there. And I think we all work hard for that feeling. So I'm glad that that resonates too. So thanks.
And, you know, just the name of this place, the Authenticity Center. Right. It just fits. It just draws me like right to it because of the authenticity of it. So I just want to give everybody kind of an opportunity to know you a little bit better, Melissa. Like, just tell us a little bit about you and how you kind of got into this work and actually a little bit more about what it is you are passionate about, because I don't think I said that as much.
Loaded questions that like where to begin. how I got into the work, counseling itself is a second career for me. I was in restauranting for 20 years. Just started bartending when I was 18 and went to different restaurants, event planning, and moved to Seattle for a while. And when I moved back to New Orleans, I was working for a Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, the corporate office. And then the day after Hurricane Katrina hit, they moved our jobs to Florida. And so I was at a crossroads where I was like, what do I do now? Do I stick with the restaurant industry, this great job that I had, or would I look at something else? And so I did. I got counseling and coaching myself and pivoted. And I was 38, went back to school when I was 39 years old, because I found, of all the things that I loved and was good at, my natural instincts and things that I wanted to do ended up being counseling. So got the master's and then started into private practice. So then,
okay, wait, hold on. Let me ask
okay.
you. So you went through Hurricane Katrina?
Yeah, I'm from New Orleans. My whole family is there. And so I had just gotten married and had my husband and I have a house. He had a house here in Lafayette, but I was also living in New Orleans with my mom. And all of my sister and my mom both lost all of their belongings and the houses and my cousin. So fortunately, we had the house in Lafayette. So when it happened, a bunch of my family came here. They ended up having to put their kids in schools here, stayed here for months to a year before we could actually, you know, get everybody back into New Orleans. But yeah, I am one of those who will always say pre-Katrina, post-Katrina, or remember when, or it was
And that
a
was a major crisis. Is that when you kind of shifted into like help mode, or what was that? Or I need help. Was that a crisis for you?
Yeah, and we but didn't know it at the time. It was weird that I know now when I talk about it now. You know, we talk about it, support systems in mental health. Like, you need your support systems. You go to your friends, your family, the people when you need help to unburden yourself. But for that, it was almost impossible because everyone was going through the same thing. It's like,
Wow.
I don't know what to say about your kids or your house. I'm trying to figure out where to put my kids in school, and I don't know where we're going to live, and do I even have pipes for plumbing now? Or, there's no lights on my street. Or yeah, so that was a weird time. But when I know now the skills of resilience, I can see them in play, and I teach them very personally and differently now, in all honesty. Resilience being problem solving, leaning on your support system, asking for help. So yeah, when I see that whole season, I see so much mental health care and issues at play, but it was a wild experience.
Like a life-changing experience.
For my whole
Life-changing.
family, for my whole family and me as an individual.
So that kind of led to you said you getting help and then deciding that you wanted to be a helper.
Well, and it really interesting. It wasn't really about my experience about Katrina that led to me wanting help, even though like I ended up really needing it because of some experiences in that Katrina season for me. But it was because I lost my job. I lost a very good job, and now it's like I don't know what to do now. I didn't want to run a restaurant. I didn't know what kind of career was going to be next, and so I had to go into self-exploration or what's the evolution, my next evolution, because it wasn't going to be restauranting. So I got counseling there, and I realized, oh, this is what I like to be, a resource for people, a helper. And so what can I do that allows me to get paid for that and feel fulfilled?
So tell us what happened next.
So interesting. So now that I'm in it, now it's like 16 years. It does feel like a natural calling for me. I love what I do. I love developing people in the profession. I love it. I'm a pure advocate for people taking care of themselves and their mental and emotional health. I never had a calling before. You know how like people say, oh, I can't wait to be a teacher, can't wait to be a nurse, can't wait to be a mother. And I never had any of that. And I always wondered why don't I? Or I was envious of people who did. But now that I've landed here, I feel settled here. And I love it. So
And it just oozes out of you too, Melissa.
Well, that can
It
that and thus is also part of my boundary problem, Dawn. We can talk about that later. There's a people pleaser. I'm in recovery is what I say, or the
Same.
natural nurturing. So I have learned the art of embracing some of my natural gifts, including being sensitive, which used to be too sensitive, or all the emotions that, man, I'm a big rolling ball of walking emotions. Now that I know how to honor that, take care of it, then I don't kind of live as a mess out from it. So it
I
does
meant
feel
that
kind
in
of
a
natural.
really good way, though. I
I do too. I do too. I do too now. I can't say that I always knew that or understood it or appreciate it. And I think that's why I have made it my personal mission to help people learn, understand, appreciate, and honor who they are naturally, authentically, and figure out what's healthy, productive, satisfying for them. Because I believe that's where a fuller life is. That's why I make it my mission there.
It's like you experienced it for yourself. You're like, wait, this works. And but it has to be authentically me, which
Not
is
what
true
somebody
for
else thinks should me be.
exactly, which is true for everyone else that comes into your office.
Agreed. And
In
really, I
the
think everybody in the
everybody in the
world.
world. So tell us about the authenticity piece. I know you have some training with Brené Brown, who I love.
Me
Tell
too.
us more about that. How did you get into that? What has that meant to you?
Yeah, her work truly changed my life. So, in 2014, she had just kind of come on the scene, like, with visiting Oprah, and she wrote a book called I Thought It Was Just Me. And I just kind of resonated with the things that she was saying. It's like, why do I feel like not enough? And all these things that I'm doing to help me feel better about myself. So I took one of her online classes, Courage Works at the time. And then it just kind of, all the work just started resonating, and I saw this whole connected online with a whole population of people who were doing the same work. I thought, oh my gosh, this is fascinating. Could you really do think it's surely it's just me that feels this way? I'm the only one that
Right.
struggles with this, and we do
Yeah,
believe that.
it's true.
But so then she put out a call for trainers, and I was like, I am all in. So I am one
Wow.
of her trainers. And there's kind of a long story because the certification has changed a little bit last year, but
Okay.
certified Daring Way facilitator. So we're trained in the Daring Greatly model of shame, resilience, vulnerability, and courageous action. So
Wow.
I'm able to do small groups, and I teach from her research, which changed my life. So I'm open to sharing that with everybody else. So the authenticity piece, when I got into a position to have an agency or even just more people than just me, in all honesty, I started with an intern and I thought Wendy needs to work for somebody other than Melissa Bow and LPC LLC. So I was like, what, if anything, would represent an agency that I ha would have? And as long as the name is, and as hard as it is to say sometimes, authenticity was the what came up. The domain name was available, and thus the Authenticity Center was born.
I love that. I love that. It draws me in like easily. And I'm like, it just feels like safety. 'Cause the safest space I've ever been is my authentic self, you know? Brené Brown has meant a lot to me too. I remember when her vulnerability
The TED
YouTube
Talk.
thing went like viral, and then I just remember it like made so much sense to me. But what I appreciated so much about her is she's a researcher. So it's not
She's
like
not a
she just,
counselor.
yeah, I
I don't know if
know.
people don't know that. She's actually not a counselor. She is a licensed clinical social worker, but she does research. She's actually never done psychotherapy and counseling, but it's research.
And it was just for some reason that angle was just like, wait, this is like facts, you know? Like this is,
Evidence-based research.
on vulnerability, which was like a no-no word, you know, or nobody talking about shame, but everybody experiencing shame. So what would you like if you were just give us like a little bit of a insight into like the main message or the main thing that she teaches or that you teach, what would that be?
And can I give a caveat here first, a little bit too? So, as we know, like as research keeps researching, as people keep doing research and learning more about things, there's a great piece that is evolving out of a what some of her research lacks, and that is
Interesting.
there's a concept that her research didn't fully embrace the people of color, what their journey is through vulnerability, and specifically, and through what acts of courage mean. So I'll put a little pin in that. So for teach her research teaches that we all have a common feeling, the common humanity feeling of shame, like the feeling that I'm not enough. And whether you acknowledge it or not, sometimes we're all dealing with it on some level, whether we deal with it from a trauma that has come to us, that has happened to us, or kind of it's a natural instinct sometimes, and we cover it and we numb it and we act out from it if we don't know what it is by things like drinking, drugs, shopping, people pleasing, hypervigilance, perfectionism, a bunch of things that we're doing to cover that feeling or to assuage that feeling. And so then the research shows that shame resilience requires us to know that I might be triggered by something, to speak it, give it language, like identify it, and then start to share it by giving it words or sharing my story. By sharing my story, I assume ownership of it, and by ownership, I start to integrate shame or that feeling into who I am. And by that, it diffuses the power of shame gremlins so that we can act differently from the same instigating feeling. So by a really small example, like if you get a somebody messages you or you see a comment to you on Facebook that's a little snarky and you just get a little twinge of like, what did they mean by that? And now you are often a world like, what if they don't like me? What if they don't, they're not going to give me business or all these shame-led things. And so I'm gonna go get another certification, or I'm gonna say something mean, or I'm gonna now I want to go shop and do some cart Instagram Amazon cart therapy.
Yes.
But now that I know when people can learn, oh, that is a shame trigger in me, then I can go say it, speak it, give it some language, and I know what it is. And go get some support around it. Now I'm responding the same thing in a healthier way. So that's in a very nutshell of a pattern and path that anybody can take. But so this the people of color, what I've read in the research and some other people that I follow who also really appreciate her research, is then encouraging courageous action of being yourself. Has different threats and risks to every population, and the people of color have a different threat and risk that her research may not fully cover. And so vulnerability and has to come from the person in their safest place, where whatever that looks like. And then to be courageously you also is going to have its own risks. Like you said when we started, you feel safe here. And that's beautiful because we can be ourselves around people we feel safe with. And everyone's going to feel safety in a very different way. And it's important that individuals can learn to honor that, to learn where you can be vulnerable in a safe way, where you, and that it's risky, but where you can be courageous, in a manner that honors and protects you regardless. So it's kind of loaded and, heavy, but.
Well, Melissa, that's one of the things I'm actually really passionate about too, and just being mindful of as white women, the experience of our Black sisters, or at Embrace Your Brave, my our quote is, "Behind every face is a story," and just starting there, people have a different story, people have a different experience, a different culture, and so I think this is really such an important conversation and realization when we're trying to help people. We have to honor where they've come
Where
from.
they are, where they are, not where we think they should be or what we think our understanding of where they are is. Is to truly let someone tell their story, not my version of their story.
So the limitations with this that I guess we have discovered or found is it's not culturally the same or
You might not apply it in all the same way in all situations. It has to be applied culturally appropriately.
appropriately. Yeah, that's the one I was looking for.
And she is talk to talk about Brené Brown. She is furthering the research to do that, not just in other demographics, but in corporate settings also, which I appreciate the, the vulnerability and courage piece coming out into the business world.
So would you say that one of the things for us to be aware of is their place of safety? Like how they would actually feel safe or not safe is a lot different than ours, or
And not just, well, not just assume it's different, but to find out.
to listen, to ask the questions, to get to know their experience and just open up that curiosity and
Lead with curiosity.
be part of making the change.
And that curiosity piece that allows for vulnerability, because then the other person doesn't believe that I'm judging or assessing or going to manage the other side. So if I lead with curiosity, now I'm just learning about you. That allows you to be vulnerable because there's no judgment on the other side. And then that person can own their story. And now we're connecting on something real and authentic. And I fully believe that that is where the magic of all life is when we can connect on real and genuine and authentic things, even if we're completely different human beings.
Yes, yeah. It's almost like entering into their world, you know, and helping them make sense of, you know,
As
because,
counselors, for sure.
yeah, because everybody makes sense in their story. But if we don't take the time to know the story, you know, and then if they've never had the opportunity, well, I know for my people, when they come sit on my couch and I ask them, okay, well, tell me who you are, there's like, I have no idea. You know?
Yeah,
I don't
because
know who I am.
we really don't take the time to do that, like any of
Yeah.
us ever. We're too busy raising kids, trying to do the work to pay the bills, and the hustle and grind culture, especially here in the United States. We're the perfectionism and the hustle is rewarded.
Yeah.
Hypervigilance, the
So true.
overworking, overfunctioning, it's so rewarded. It's like, oh, they're a great worker, they'll do everything for you. God
Yeah.
forbid anybody take a nap, or you know, just
True.
take a break. It's like, oh, must be nice, you know. Not that
Yes.
anybody says that to me, because they know, I know, yeah, it's nice. A nap is nice. I'm all for it.
Yes.
But you know, we don't. Yeah, we're all just doing, so busy doing, we miss the being. We miss the being
Yes.
part.
Yes. I actually just released a podcast this morning on how we normalize what harms us and we stigmatize what heals us, you know? So we've normalized kind of that people-pleasing, perfectionistic, driven, drive culture, disconnected from yourself, disconnected from each other, just like, you know, and even praise it, even to the point where we kind of like, we expect it. So we don't even see what's wrong with it, the harm in it. And then we stigmatize what actually would help us, like a nap, right? Or like therapy, or like medicine, or whatever that is. Like, you know, it's, I'm like, wow, the system has really kind of set us up to keep us unwell. But the other part of that is we're the only ones that can do something about it.
And we have to know that something's off, honor that something's off, and be willing to take the time or make the time to go in and examine it.
Yeah.
Like, what is going on with me, so I can figure out what I need to move forward in a healthy direction.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. So, tell us a little bit more about kind of what you're passionate about. Like, what do you love about your work?
My work, I love it when people do get insight into themselves, that allows them to set boundaries. I love talking boundaries. I could talk boundaries forever. But I love it when they get new insight to themselves and a little bit more agency, as you know, to use a counseling word, but just a little bit more empowered. Because when someone knows a little bit more about really what makes them tick, and honor that, then we're not really as thrown off when other people are honoring themselves. When I'm grounded, it doesn't bother me when you're off doing whatever, because if you being you really throws something off about me or is unhealthy for me, then I'm grounded enough now to set a very healthy boundary, where we can be in a perfectly fine relationship, but that doesn't mean I invite you to Sunday dinner and I'm okay with that. Or I've learned how to say no to things, or a healthy yes to things. So I love being able to teach that to anybody who will listen it to it for themselves. Because I spent a couple things, like I've spent a lot of my life, I've had some big situations where I lost myself completely for pleasing other people, and it took a while to recover from that. And because I'm still who I am still going to get tripped up, but I practice the things more quickly. I have more muscle memory because I know these things more readily. We're always going to get tripped up about things, but it's just better when you just have the tools in the tool chest to pull out when you need them.
So, can you talk to us about boundaries? Because I also love boundaries, and I also think that it's a game changer.
I agree. I think it starts with you have to know that you are worth them first.
Yes. When I first learned about boundaries, I didn't know I was allowed to have any. I
Yeah.
was like, oh, I didn't know
Yeah, to set
I was
limits or to say, no, this is my responsibility and this is not. But I also think we teach them a little bit erroneously now, or we understand them erroneously right now. We
allowed.
use them as, most people use them as threats or punishment or discipline or control. Like when I say, I'm going to set a boundary so that I can control someone else's behavior. But that's not
Okay.
really accurate. I like to say that
Yes.
boundaries equals behaviors, meaning my behavior.
Yeah.
Boundary is my behavior. Everything else is a request. So I'm going to make a request of some behaviors, like on a simple term is please don't email me after 6 o'clock, or
Yeah.
don't text me after 9.
Okay.
If you're talking with family, let's not talk politics at the dinner table. Or please stop feeding my kids ice cream when you babysit. But a true boundary is I'm going to make the request. Please don't text me after 9 o'clock. But a boundary is after 9 o'clock, I don't answer texts.
Right.
So now I'm protecting. A boundary is to protect and salvage something, like just like your fence line, your
Yeah.
yard. I
Yeah.
don't cut your grass. I don't allow you to throw garbage in mine. And this boundary line is what sets that delineation.
Yes.
And so if I know that, then the boundary is to protect what I want to salvage, my time, my sanity, my peace of mind, my intellect, my whatever, my money. What I say yes to and what I don't. So my
Yes.
boundary is my behavior. If my boundaries are come, if you start to get up to my limits, here's what I'm going to do.
Yes.
And that's what I do to protect. So if you keep asking for money, here's my limit so that I can protect my own wallet.
Yeah.
If we do start talking about politics, I'm going to either ask that we change the subject, or I may leave the table, or I may leave the house.
Yeah.
That's my limit. And it will
Yeah.
still protect my relationship with anybody as I'm protecting myself. But I
Yeah.
have to know that I honor that first. So it's
Yes.
not selfish. It
Right.
is not, it's all me first. It's I'm going to honor me so that I can fully love and honor you 100%.
Yes, beautifully said. Yeah,
Thank you.
like I say, it's how you love other people and yourself
At the same
at the
time.
same time. You know, it's like, and the truth is, I find we can't really love other people in a healthy way if we're not loving ourselves first, right? If we don't have those boundaries in place that are love to us,
Yeah,
that.
and there might be some strings attached that we don't even really know that we're kind of operating from.
Yeah. And I think to even be in that place, we have to know that we matter. You matter is kind of the beginning of thinking that you deserve to have boundaries, you know?
And sometimes like I know I learned it kind of a hard way. A while, like 25 years ago, I was in a very unhealthy relationship. I lost myself. To keep the relationship.
Yeah.
Now we have since done a lot of healing and a lot of forgiving, so I talk way more friendly about it
Yes.
than I did before. So I'm using very
I can appreciate that.
careful
Yeah.
words, I guess.
Yeah.
But I lost myself. The
Yep.
woman I became, I would have n no one would have ever thought that I would have left my family and alienated my friends the way that I did for a
Wow.
relationship.
Oh, yeah.
And so I learned a lot from that I ultimately, I did it for self-serving reasons, like for security and affirmation and all
Yeah.
the things. But
Yeah.
so when you learn about it, I had to know that it was okay for me to stand up for myself, that I was worth that. I was valuable enough and worthy enough to say, I don't like this, or I don't want this, or this is not okay for me.
Yeah.
I don't know how you learn that in advance of being challenged by it, but sometimes we have to learn it the hard way, and then it becomes wisdom. And I do believe it's wisdom for me now.
Yeah. And I definitely I want my four girls to learn it a hell of a lot sooner than I did.
And you don't want them to learn the hard way, but honestly, think back on when you were young, when people
Yeah.
are telling you all these things, and it's like, yeah, sure. I don't
Yeah.
know how it can become wisdom until you have to apply it.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know this about me. I was in a 22-year relationship. It took me a long time to learn, but when I look at that and I see where I was, there was no me in the relationship. You know, like more and more over time, it was about trying to please the other person, trying to, or trying to fix the other person, trying to heal the other person was more true for me, you know, thinking, oh, that's such a good thing to do, or that's my responsibility, which I think is part of our conditioning and deeply connected to how we grew up and our childhood and what we learned. And, for me, I think survival was self-abandonment. And so because that was just part of how I learned, then I just stepped right into a marriage where that fit, And then for 22 years, I became a mom. And, so being a mom, everything is about serving everyone else, but completely lost me. I don't even recognize myself when I look back. I look back on pictures and I'm like, who is that? But I think that this is something that so many women can relate to.
At any age and stage, so that it's never too late to also say, I wonder where I am in this, and then to start doing some work immediately to figure out who I am first and how do I fit in this if I even want to anymore.
Absolutely. It's never too late. Start today, right?
Right? Amen, sisters.
Start today. So we've kind of talked about it a little bit, but why do you think people are so afraid of authenticity?
Oh, because it's risky. It is hella risky. We risk judgment, alienation. I mean, at our core, if you think like, prehistoric, if anybody stood out from the pack, I mean, really think like animals, then you were the one that got picked off. You were the one that got eaten. This is actually an example I gave in, I did a TEDx. I did a TEDx talk, and this was the example. But it's like, whenever somebody stands out, it's like, well, look at that. Even if somebody's quiet, that is authentic. It's not just like somebody stands out, but like, can I honor the fact that I'm quiet, or I'm not the one that shines out here or is boisterous here, but I'm just being myself, whatever that looks like. It's risky, and so that alone is vulnerability. But the thing about risk is it could go either way. It could go poorly where judgment and ridicule or ostracizing happens. But then that will also tell us who are safe people, who are people we want to be in relationship with or not. The other side of that risk and that we take is here I am being myself, whatever that means. And then I find people who honor it, who respect it, who protect it and love it, or relate with it. Now I can find belonging. Whether that's at work or in my leisure time or personal, intimate relationships. So it's worth the risk because that sense of belonging gives us a strong sense of ourselves too. But we have to start with relating as ourselves first. So authenticity is risky just inherently, just to be ourselves.
And, but you know what? It's so interesting. It's like that's a cost that I refuse to pay again, is losing me, like, 'cause I have found, going through with a divorce in the Christian world is a pretty lonely experience, but it was actually me choosing me to get out of that. And even though it's been lonely and I have, lost a lot of people in this process, especially in talking a lot about abuse and things like that, that people just really aren't comfortable talking about and want to turn a blind eye to. But it's almost like, but I have me. And like I would not trade that ever again. I
And
just would not.
now you can find other community who give you space to belong as you and not compliance you, or a
Yes.
perfect you, or yeah, you belong as long as you fit into the mold that we say you belong to. So then it's just a more richer, fuller relationships and living. So good for you, Dawn.
It really is. And it's like my circle gets a little smaller every day, it seems like. But the
But
people in that
richer.
circle, absolutely. The people in that circle, they truly love me. They truly love themselves. They're truly make it where you really are better and stronger together in that space. And to me, that's so much more richer and like actually more living than that space where we just let everybody in and let everybody crush us and let everybody try to please everyone else and lose ourselves, It's like it's so much more costly to stay there than to be over here in my own little authentic space where I am safe, but and I am me, period, unapologetically,
And you doing that a lot gives other people the space to do that too. So you model
Yeah.
that. Whether, I think whether we talk to people about it or not, you just living that, someone is going to notice that, and you'll be a role model to somebody that you probably don't even know about.
Yeah. And it's what I'm passionate about as a therapist too, because it's like, wait, no, you matter. Like, we want you. We want you and your authentic self. Like, because, and I tell people all the time, I don't just want you to heal. I want you to live. I want you to thrive. I want you to
Life is
dream.
too short.
Yeah. And I feel like that is how we're going to heal the world, by everyone healing themselves and becoming their authentic selves and then living in their passion, living in what they're truly gifted in. They are authentically themselves. When we're all doing that, can you imagine,
Oh yeah, that
Melissa?
there's a quote, and I'm gonna mess up his name. It's Thoreau, I think. To the world needs more people to do what makes them truly come alive.
Yes. And it's so true. And I think as we experience that ourselves, I feel like I'm dabbling in it, and it's like you just want more of it, but you want more people to experience it and realize that it is possible, And I'll also say we only get one life. I want you to live the damn thing,
It is short, man. It is
Yeah.
short, and we want it to be full.
Yeah. Absolutely. So if there were kind of women listening to this today, what is your message to them? And I say women because I work with women and this is a woman's kind of podcast, but even though I know my brother listens and he's the man,
Oh, that's sweet.
but
That's supportive.
he's amazing. But for the women that are listening today, what would be your message to them?
It's like you don't need my permission, but it's okay to be you, and it's important that you figure out or find out who that is if you ever feel lost or stuck.
Yeah.
Because I know, I like a good midlife crisis, is what I say, but because we
Yeah.
also keep evolving as humans too. And so sometimes we might have come from a very good, full, rich season. Maybe it's careers or jobs or kids, or
Yeah.
relationships, and we keep evolving. If we know that we keep evolving, then my interests may change, my abilities are certainly changing. Then it's okay to keep examining, what is it? What is my life, and who am I now? What is it for this season of my life? And it's not that one I'm going to judge it or begrudge it or think that it was wrong. It's just not right for me now or moving forward. So I think just keep acknowledging that you are worth knowing, you are worth being, and it's okay to take the time to figure out who you are and what you need at any stage, age, or season of your life, and then to honor,
Yes.
listen to that voice moving forward, because it will change who you are in the present, how you feel and live up in your life, and how you live that out moving forward. So I would say that.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Thanks.
So I have a few questions that I ask everyone.
Okay. Rapid fire. Is it rapid fire round? Are we there yet?
but first of all, as a trauma therapist, What do you think little Melissa would say to you today?
Lizzo would think that I am a freaking badass. Like
Yes.
I have a picture of like Brene has this exercise, like to find a picture of you. Yes.
Yes. Oh,
You are
we
a
both
badass.
have one. That's awesome. Yeah.
It's a picture of me. I think I was probably like 7 years old. It's where I feel like I am. It's my most authentic self, like a representation of me. My hair's in my eyes. I am in a dress, and I'm barefoot in the grass playing with a dog. But it just feels like she is unabashedly herself
Yes.
and free and messy and all the things. And when if I really think, and it's funny that you asked that, I know that was
Yeah.
neat. I wasn't expecting to answer it that way. But what, if
Yeah.
that girl saw me now, she would never think that this the things that I'm doing are possible.
Yes.
Living a full, rich life. And I don't mean like, it doesn't mean like success or things like that. It's just a free and full and fun, rich life. She'd think it'd be pretty badass.
Yeah,
Yeah,
that's
I wish
awesome.
I had that picture here because she's cute.
I know, she's so cute.
And
And
she'd be proud. Yeah.
what would you say to her?
Oh, so much. It's not so much her. I would want to talk to more 13-year-old, 16-year-old, 18, 21, 28, 30. It'd be like, I would just want to say, it's okay to love yourself first. You really are enough as you are. Just go try. Be courageous. You'll be more proud of the things that you tried than selling yourself short because you just didn't think you could, or out of fears or insecurities or all the labels of you're too sensitive or too emotional. Well, and I know that I was moody, but I've learned what that is now. So yeah, I would just say, I would want her just to have more emotional resilience, but again, you just gotta live with, learn to live, and learn. So.
Yeah, so much love, huh? Just so much love. So our podcast is called Not That Girl Anymore. Okay. So what does that mean to you, Melissa?
I use a lot of words for what I wish would be short answers that could be on a bumper sticker, but
Yes.
I'm not that girl anymore that lives from shame or not enough. I am still the girl that has it. I think to a degree we're all going to have it, but I'm not the girl that lives from it anymore. So that's what I mean by that, that I've learned where that I'm not going to be everything. I don't have to be everything I need to be.
Oh,
I know. What did I?
no,
We're gonna
wait,
have to
that,
replay
write
that. That sounded good. Can we're gonna
that
have to
down.
replay that? I don't
Yeah.
have to be every. Okay, Dawn.
Yes.
I don't have to be everything to be everything I need to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what was the question?
Not that girl anymore. What
Not
does
that girl
it
anymore.
mean to
That she lives from enoughness now. She lives from a place
you?
of being enough as she is, messy and all, not perfect. Certainly not perfect. But yeah,
Yeah, I love
enough.
that. I love that.
As again, I hate to keep quoting Brené because I want yeah, but I am imperfect and I am enough. So that's where it lands.
And isn't that just human? It's just a beautiful part of just being human and being who you are.
Yeah.
I
Yeah.
love that.
And then just helping other people try to do the same
Yeah.
by healing
So,
hurts and wounds and histories and things.
yeah,
Yes.
that's the good stuff. We have the best jobs, don't
It's a lot, but yes, I agree.
we? I know. When we get to watch the light bulbs come on, though, and the people get empowered, and it's just so beautiful. Okay, so Melissa, tell us, what are you excited about right now?
Well, I'm really excited about what we're building at the Authenticity Center. I gotta say, like, this team has come together so organically, that it does feel authentic. It's
Yes.
not a cliche, but
Right.
I love that we're able to build the community for the counselors here to have feel like a good place to work, and also the clinical skills, the compassion to really serve a diverse community. I am super excited about that. Personally, I am in musical theater, and I'm a theater geek. Yeah, so I'm excited about a show I'm directing this summer for seniors. I do a lot of air quotes, but for seniors age 55 and up. But
Oh.
yeah, so it's 55. The oldest one in the cast is 78. So I love that they are getting this theater and fun performance experience.
Wow.
I'm going
That's
to visit some
awesome.
girlfriends in Seattle next week. And
Nice.
yeah, that's what I'm excited about.
And Melissa sings and
Yes. And Dawn is one of our raving fans.
yeah. One of my favorite things is going to the Mexican restaurant and having margaritas and singing
And singing
along
along with Mel and
to
John. Yes. I don't know when we're going to be back there. I'm hoping like June or July, but yeah, I'll
Yeah.
keep you posted.
I brought some friends last time, and I think we have some
I think y'all
lifelong
had some
fans. I think
good
so.
time.
Well, Melissa, thank you so much for being here. And thank you just for being who you are, like this beautiful human with just such a huge heart, so much compassion, so much love, and also like such a boundary badass, you know? It's like such a an awesome it's just beautiful. I'm truly honored to know you. I'm so thankful that I get to be a part of the Authenticity Center. I so appreciate everything that you teach me, how you pour into me, how you drag me along with you and kick me in the ass sometimes.
On out, duckling. Come on out.
I'm that girl that does need a little kick in the ass sometimes.
But you're
Wow.
doing, like, talk about courageous action, man. You said, I want this and I'm gonna do it, and you are just showing up for yourself. So that's awesome.
I
So it's
appreciate
my
that.
honor to work with you. Yeah, like with you,
Well,
alongside you. So yeah, thanks.
thank you. You're amazing at what you do, and you are a gift to this world. So keep
Thanks.
shining, sis. And I'm so thankful that we get to do this together.
Me too.
Okay.
Me too. Do
Well,
you
thank you
boo?
guys. Do you boo?
Do
Do you
you
boo? I love that. That's one of my favorite things. I remember that from your TED Talk. Which, by the way, how can they find your TED Talk?
Dude, I don't know. They
You don't even know.
I don't think they recorded it probably very well, so I don't think it's making the light of day. But
Okay.
I
But
just
you
know
did
that, so
that.
I
You
got
did
pictures. I did that. Yes. Thank you for
that.
asking. We'll clip that out.
did that. Yeah. And how can they find you online?
theauthenticitycenter.com, Melissa
Okay.
Bowen on LinkedIn, or Facebook, Instagram, all the things.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for being here, Melissa. Thank you,
Thanks,
everyone
Dawn.
else, for being here. You guys remember, you matter. Your story matters. Your pain matters. Your dreams matter.
Amen.
And you're not that girl anymore. Hey, friend, just a quick note. I am a licensed therapist, but this podcast isn't therapy. It's not meant to diagnose or treat anything, it's here to offer you support, encouragement, and real conversation. If you're struggling, please reach out to a trusted professional. You are not alone, and you are so worthy of healing. Even if your voice shakes, keep using it. Your healing matters. If you're ready to go deeper, you can book a session by clicking the link in the show notes or visiting our website, embraceyourbrave.org, to learn more about our therapy and trauma-informed coaching options. Let's explore how we can walk this journey together. You are not alone. Embrace your brave, sis. You're not that girl anymore.